That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on Sportsnet590.ca and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, it's Greg. Welcome to Brady and Walker. Really glad you found us. It's time for new beginnings, time for old reflections. Not really talking about our show, though it's got a splashy new look and feel, two less cranky, more well-rested hosts, and a new broadcast medium that will limit the amount of times either of us eat oatmeal with a fork on the air. We're happy to be sleeping well. But we're talking baseball. 1 week from today, Jays Yankees. The Jays will begin their 38th season against a team becoming a lot more than 38 years old, the New York Yankees. Interest is high. Baseball gets us out of our winter doldrums. And after a second brutally cold, annoyingly long winter, we're ready. It's also a fresh sporting start, and we need that also. We've got a hockey team not just in need of a fresh coat of paint, but probably the entire duffel bag of detonators that Hans Gruber was going to use at the Nakatomi Plaza. A basketball team that has us begging and pleading not to become the first back-to-back division winners in the last 11 years since the sixth division format came in, not to be back-to-back first-round losers. And a soccer team more cursed than any ghost pirate ship in the history of cinema. So we need the Jays right now, but is there cynicism or reality? Are the American Leaguers have-nots or haves? And then there's the Jays. Do they fit either category? Does parity exist if your team is never part of it? We all know about the playoff drought. We're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. 21 years. It's the longest in Major League Baseball. By eight, the Mariners look a lot more postseason ready, and they've missed out for 13 straight years. So forget the playoffs. The Jays haven't won 90 since Joe Carter's home run. Forget 90. They haven't won 88 since 1998. Roger Clemens' second year here. And that was also the year Tim Johnson became the first man and MLB manager to swim using only the butterfly across the Atlantic. That's what he said anyway, so I believed it. Either way, we need the Jays back, and you'll get them a week from today right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. R.A. Dickey, Masahiro Tanaka. The bright spot, though, nearly every AL East winner the last four seasons have been a surprise. There's no powerhouses. The hope for dating the prom queen for the Jays is as much about the other guys being average with a pimple here and a pimple there as it is believing your own team's stud factor. Baltimore started slow last year, then played great the next 5 months. Toronto started fast and didn't play great the next 5 months. There's no magic formula. It's not science. We're all simply hoping the Jays are finally playing with the right test tubes.
This is Brady and Walker. Online at Sportsnet590.ca. On TV at Sportsnet 360. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Got something to say? Say it on Twitter at Brady and Walker. Or text 590-590. Now here are Greg Brady and Andrew Walker.
It is Brady and Walker, the afternoon debut. An old show is new again. Monday, March the 30th. Glad to have you with us. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady. You can get in touch with us on our personal Twitter feeds as well, at Fan590Walker on Twitter, at BradyFan590. And our email address, brand new, BradyWalker590 at gmail.com. So here we go. As Greg mentioned, we are a week away from the start of Blue Jays season. In fact, the roster expected to be announced tomorrow by John Gibbons and company. So you used the wording there, cynicism or reality.
Yeah.
When it comes to this brand and this team. And does it not feel like it's the most intriguing when you look at the last 3 years, this has to be the most intriguing group in terms of maybe some people's expectations one way and others the other.
I think you think that because you assume there's big changes if it's not right this time. We are willing to, like, I don't know if 2013 was, we overhyped the team and then the team fell flat on its face given expectations. 2014, we almost thought nothing of them. They were picked by last by an awful lot of experts, right? Boston's the defending World Series champs. The Yankees add Tanaka. Tampa always does what they do. And Baltimore was sort of up and coming. They'd won 85 games the year before. So the Jays were the afterthought. And then at the end of May, you look and they're 6.5 games up on everybody else. And they won their first four games in June. People forget that. They started well. I always, when we were doing the morning show, we always pointed out that that Friday night that geeky fan interfered with Jose Bautista was the beginning of whatever bad was going to happen because they lost the next two games of that series. and they won the game when the fan interfered with Bautista. He's not a modern day Steve Bart, man. We couldn't find that kid if we tried. And we had tried. But no matter what, I think, yeah, maybe this is the middle ground year where you say they're not going to win 100 games and they're not going to win 72 games. But is the bubble somewhere in the middle? And what we all ask the question all the time, Andrew, what gets you in? Does 86 get you in for a change? Is 90 the guarantee that gets you in? At least you'll be playing deeper into September if you're winning 86-87. But it's not good enough. Well, it's playoffs or bust for a lot of people.
And you're right, and it might be playoffs or bust for Alex Anthopoulos as well. But you look at, again, how we looked at this team last year and then this year, and it's the great unknown. So we're sitting on the sidelines here for the last month, getting ready for this show, and Marcus Stroman goes down. What to make of it? And you lose a guy like that.
I didn't hear that. I haven't paid much attention to sports.
Breaking news.
Being off. When did that?
Just more dancing.
Can
to the
I
stars?
Get a second source on this?
Wow. Is Marcus Stroman your most important guy? Is he your ninth and most important guy? Right. So I'm not going. We're supposed to know everything, right? There's not supposed to be unknowns. I'm not going to Front Street today and picketing and saying this is a team that's going to win the AL East, bank on it. But I'm also not going to go down there and say they can't.
No.
Right? Look at this division.
You're not, Marcus Stroman isn't, we're not talking Clayton Kershaw, but I think,
God, he might be your most popular guy.
You know, would you rather lose Clayton Kershaw for 35 starts or would you rather lose Adrian Gonzalez for 155? It's a debate. It's still a debate. Would you rather look? The Angels lost Garrett Richards halfway through the season to that awful injury. Like he made what 25 starts. He could have made 10 more. You look at the scenario. You'd rather lose the pitcher than a position player. So, you don't want to lose anybody. You don't want to lose anybody at this point in time and this early in the season. But my God, if this news had been Bautista on the sprinkler, if the news had been Encarnacion, Donaldson, Russell Martin, you got a lot more to overcome if it's one of those four.
So given, the last couple of weeks, and so what has lasted with you then? What's the impression as we sit here a week away? I think some things get overblown, and sometimes things get forgotten a little bit. I think the Josh Donaldson trade happened so early in all of this that I don't know if the average – I don't know if I, forget the average Jays fan, I don't know if I fully appreciate and realize what having that guy in for 162 games, knock on wood, does.
I know. Do you wonder, though, with Donaldson, who looks the part? He's the premier third baseman. I think he's the premier third baseman in the American League. Is there another guy you can love Manny Machado.
You can like Evan Longoria, sure.
You can like those guys a lot, but if you're going 1 year this season, I don't think you'd move Donaldson for either Machado or, again, a one-year scenario, or Evan Longoria. And Miguel Cabrera doesn't play third base anymore, so that's not a factor. I look and
A-Rod's back.
A-Rod is back. That's true. And Chase Headley, who you wanted to trade Marcus Stroman and Jose Bautista for Chase Headley last
year.
We're really rusty. But I look and I think there's a sense that the Jays are just, again, in that middle ground. Like I said off the top of the show, there's expectations of teams that have gone bottom down, bottom up. Kansas City's lost parts. Baltimore's lost an awful lot of parts.
That's the thing, though. I don't think there's a sense of anything. Like, I think there's
numbness.
So many unknown factors. I mean, okay, look at the six rookies that are expected to break camp, right? The two relievers, Daniel Norris and Aaron Sanchez, who we saw them briefly last year, and they both had dynamite springs. A new second baseman, probably in Devin Travis, and then Dalton Pompey, who wowed in his brief call-up last year, and you see what you got. So it's all unknown, and it doesn't mean it's bad, and it doesn't mean it's great. We just don't know.
Do you think even 2 years ago, fans get burned by stuff sometimes, and I understand that. And once you're burned once, twice, three times, it's really, really difficult. We're going to talk about the Leafs, obviously, much later in the show. You've got a comment on them off the top at 2 o'clock. But I've always talked to you about the Leafs, and I said, this isn't about Boston in 2013. This isn't about the years of the Burke Nonis era. This is 46 years. So some of the frustrations compounded, and it's not these players' fault.
To some.
It's not the manager's fault. A lot of it's not even Paul Beeson's fault. There are things that are all their faults, yes. But is there even burning that was done 2 years ago with getting excited about Josh Johnson, getting excited about Brandon Morrow finally being healthy. This will be the year that he stays healthy. The super sub, Emilio Bonifacio, right? We even looked at last year's roster, Andrew, and we said, last year going into opening day, you'd have thought Colby Rasmus is going to take off on that great 13 he had and go into the stratosphere in a contract year. And you know who we're stuck with for another year? Melky freaking Cabrera. Isn't that great? Oh, yeah. God, we got his sorry ass coming back. The opposite happened. And a month into the season, you knew Melky Cabrera was the guy you wanted to re-sign. And more than likely, Colby Rasmus was a guy you'd send packing.
There's so many moving parts to this team. It is the rookies. It's not having Melky Cabrera there. But the unknown is, again, Russell Martin. Is he a known commodity or an unknown commodity on this team? Russell Martin, what he does to the pitching staff. Josh Donaldson. We can talk all day about what the Blue Jays don't have or what we don't think they have. There's not a better 3-4-5 in the majors. In fact, I don't know if there's been a better 3-4-5 anywhere in the last 10 years.
Well, there sure isn't in the AL East. You might say it would involve Cespedes, Victor Martinez, and Miguel Cabrera. Everybody's healthy, but it doesn't. The key is the AL East, isn't it? It's heaven. It's looking and saying,
well,
the Yankees
who scares
are,
you?
Right. And Boston's the only team that scares me, and that could be proven to be absolutely idiotic 30 games in the season.
They might finish last. Yeah.
And to go last first, what are the odds of that? But the two years, the Bobby Valentine year, right, and last year, you knew in April this was going to be a long year for the Red Sox. The Red Sox on opening day last year brought everybody back. They brought everybody back. And it was so bad after 6 weeks that they decided to move to the future. And have they done enough of that and added, you know, Panda at third base and Hanley Ramirez in left field and Porcello to the rotation. Is that enough? More people are picking Boston than any other. I haven't seen anybody pick the Yankees or the Orioles. I haven't seen anybody. So I think it's almost a consensus Boston, but it's almost by default.
And I don't know if you can even now be crazy about Boston's rotation. And at the same time, the New York Yankees will always have a certain level of Yankee mystique. But who are their two guys right at the top? It's Tanaka and Pineda, right? And if those two are healthy, that is the best 1-2 punch in the division. Like, Jays fans could be uber positive at the start of the season, but you're going into Yankee Stadium games 1 and game 2, and those are the two guys you get. But I don't know if this isn't being glass half empty, but I think there's a lot of people out there that would think the Jays could easily be 0-2 after two games.
Sure, two games. Yeah, exactly. But do Yankee fans play the game that Jays fans play? Are they so see, you can make the case they're spoiled. Like, we look all the time, we've always talked when we've done shows about, when's the right time to start complaining if you're a fan base? Like, when's the right time to start getting upset about, like, if the Patriots go 3 years without winning the Super Bowl? Oh my God, yeah. The Patriots. But
Boston Celtics fan, you're still not allowed to be sour yet.
Yeah, Lakers, you're getting into that zone. You're pushing towards that zone where you can kind of ask whether they're doing the right things. Knicks fans, you're already there. Maple Leafs fans, you're already there. But let me bring that up with the Yankees and say, won't the glass half full Yankees fans say, how's Brian McCann going to hit 232 again? He's too good. He's 30 years old. How's Mark Teixeira going to miss his usual 40, 50 games again? We think we're better at shortstop. We hung on to Derek Jeter. We couldn't kick a legend out the door. And Joe Girardi decided he had to play him 145 games. Jacoby Ellsbury, he'll be better. Carlos Beltran, God, he couldn't be worse. But I know what you're getting at. The Yankees are counting on 38-year-olds, and the Jays are counting on 22-year-olds. That's the difference between the two. And usually you'd err on the side of youth when the age gap's that. It's a decade and a half.
What was the number the other day? The Jays are the only team to not have a starting pitcher between the ages of 25 and 35.
Yeah, they're two old dudes and three kids.
Yes.
It's one of those things where we talked about it, and we'll talk about it later on as well, about R.A. Dickey potentially getting, hasn't been named yet, maybe they do it tomorrow, maybe they do it during our show between 1 and 4 when they name the 25-man roster. But they're not going to utilize Mark Burley in the Bronx in the first three games. He's going to start the Orioles home opener when they raise their lovely little AL East pennant. And that's probably, Mark Burley's had a lot of trouble in New York. He goes suit shopping. He'll buy the youngsters a suit, but then he'll show up at the yard that night and give up six runs in 3 1/3. It hasn't gone well for him at Yankee Stadium.
So it bears mentioning, we are happy to be back on The Fan and on Sportsnet 360 today as well for the first time. Elliot Friedman's going to be our first guest out of the shoot today at 1:37. He'll join us. We'll talk some hockey. But It's been a month in the sidelines for both of us. What did you spend the last month doing? I'm curious. I never know what he's doing.
Very little. Yes, making meatloaf. The first 2 weeks were fantastic, and I shut it down. And I didn't. I was low on the. I was low on the communication scale with other folks. And then the last 2 weeks, you're just itching to get back. Like, my parents were both school teachers, and I don't know how they did it, because they wouldn't. We wouldn't have to get sent off to camps and all that. I had two younger sisters, so we would be able to hang out for the summer. If they send me to 1 week of day camp out of 9 weeks in the summer, I'd be like, okay, I can tolerate that, until I was 15 and they couldn't take it anymore. And they sent me to a radio camp.
Yep.
Don't remind me. Yep. There was sports there. We wore white shorts and played tennis.
Badminton and radio camp.
But I think this time around was a little bit different, because when you know where you're going and you are getting paid still, I haven't checked my account. I think I was still paid in the last... I don't know.
Just uncashed checks. In your car.
They just come. I'm going to get this direct deposit thing. It's catching on around the province. But I did a lot of staying up late, a lot of movies, a lot of reading. A lot of people made fun of me because I would drive all the way from Ajax down to the downtown gym here, and I'd work out. But it's the closest free treadmill that's here. So that sounds like a lot. That sounds excessive.
You can run. Outside,
I'd drive in at 7 in the morning. I'd throw the iPod on. I'd listen to tunes all the way here. I'd get pumped up. I'd go run, and then I'd be back home by 9:15. It was a very strange existence, but we're really happy to be back. And it's been nice. It's nice to have been missed. And we also know there was a great show here at 1 o'clock with Tim and Sid. I'm just finishing now listening to their Friday goodbye show. I've made it to about 140, but they did a great job in this slot, and we're of the mind that it's, we know a lot of radio listeners hate change, and they will, they'll be, indifferent is a positive, and they'll be downright, furious with a notable change to their listening habits and their listening schedule. I've been like that when a talk show's gone off TV and a new host comes on, like Bob Costas went off the air. Bob Costas did that late night show after Letterman at 1:30.
It was replaced by
Greg Kinnear, and I couldn't stand Greg Kinnear. And then Greg Kinnear was replaced by Carson Daly. Now, I'm not watching either Greg Kinnear or Carson Daly. I want my Bob Costas back. So I think you'll hear
better than the other when Bob Costas Live was replaced by Joe Buck Live.
For three
episodes.
Our first guest was either going to be Elliot Friedman or Artie Lang, but
we wanted to last more than three shows.
We'll find out what Elliot's favorite website is.
You know what I did over the break?
Yeah.
I watched that Artie Lang Joe Buck clip probably like 11 times. Unbelievable. How not to launch a new show?
No.
That was the lesson that day.
It was ridiculous.
Okay, so John and Jane stop you, you know, on the GO train today and say, so what is the show going to be all about? What is your theme? Let's say someone did not listen to Brady Walker AM the incarnation.
Well,
what would you say?
We only did the show for and I think I know they were successful months. We were pretty proud of what we did for 16, 17 months, and I know a lot of people have asked about the changes. Are you happy? Is it good? Are you sleeping? And I think for all I can do is speak for the two of us. We're really pleased. We get to keep doing what we want. We're sleeping in. The show's on television. The show's still a radio show on TV. And I think that's the important thing, is that if you are watching us in any part of, you could be watching us in none of it right now. And I won't make a joke about that. And we're going to do a radio show that's about Toronto, but we are going to try and make it appeal to. And the great thing is, we got NHL playoffs coming up, for lack of a better term, with a team in our city that I don't think is going to make it this year. And we may have as many as four or five. Though the Sens took a bit of a glancing blow on the weekend. Canadian teams in the playoffs, and you got one NBA team that represents all of Canada in the playoffs. So we love. I don't know if we love all the sports equally, but we have things we like more than others. The show's about the people. The one thing we do is we work really hard at the show to do a smart sports show, because I think we have smart listeners. So we owe it to people to be smart, because they're smart, and we let the chips fall where they may. So we're ready to go.
It's a great day to launch. Elliot Friedman joins us at 1:37, and you know, one of the reasons is because let's say, and we watched throughout the entire last month, because that's what we do. We watch sports. We talk about sports. But last night's really, and this weekend, was the first back-to-back days where, you know, we could flip on the playoff races in the National Hockey League and have set opinions on it. And what a day yesterday. In fact, I don't remember the last day this season that there were so many implications. I mean, it starts with the Caps and the Rangers. We'll have a Capitals defenseman John Carlson coming up at the 3 o'clock hour as well today. These two teams, you could make an argument, are playing for, I mean, who holds sway right now in the Eastern Conference. That's how the day began, and it continues with the Boston Bruins and a huge overtime win in Carolina, the Ottawa Senators, and a huge loss to Jaromír Jágr and the Florida Panthers. And then the night wrapped up with, for my money, the best game I've seen this season.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And that was Chicago's 4-3 win in the final minute over the Winnipeg Jets. So if the playoffs start today, there's four Canadian teams in. The Habs, the Canucks, the Calgary Flames, who get in last night, and the Winnipeg Jets, just barely, because the Ottawa Senators are now on the outside looking in the Eastern Conference. 3 points is not a lot.
And game, well, this is where you really look at games in hand, because the Kings have 7 games left and the Flames have 6, and the Kings are going to use one of them tonight in Chicago. And I was thinking that about the Blackhawks on the weekend. You've got a team that everybody thinks is just fantastic, and the Blackhawks were risking starting every series on the road, and they still are. They still could finish fourth in the Central, last playoff spot. So you got to go on the road in Nashville and beat Pekka. You might have a deeper team, but you don't have Patrick Kane for probably at least the first round, little dip into the second.
Yeah.
St. Louis wants you bad. Now, they don't have Ryan Miller, but St. Louis was a awful way to go last year, being 2 games up. It's all looking good, and you lose the next 4, and you're gone. And they blew a couple leads in those 4 games as well. So I was thinking that with Calgary and where they're at. And I'll tell you, if you talk to the people with the Vancouver Canucks, they're celebrating nothing right now. They got to go to St. Louis tonight. That game's on Sportsnet Pacific at 8. Or if you have Game Center Live, you can see it. And Vancouver's not exactly playing fantastic hockey when they really need to. Could the Flames sneak in? The Flames may not grab the Kings spot. The Flames may grab the Canucks spot when it's all said and done with 7 games left for Vancouver. But Calgary's only got the 6 left, so everyone matters to them. And I wonder, Andrew, would we have, we'll ask Elliot Friedman this at 1:30, would we have counted Calgary out this morning with a regulation loss in Nashville yesterday? It makes the climbing uphill a lot tougher for the Flames. That was a massive win, and they didn't have to face Pekka Rinne, and Shea Weber was not playing in that game, and they've got this long trip starting tonight in Dallas, and then they got to go to St. Louis and Edmonton. So I don't know. I still, if dollars to donuts, I still think the Flames are going to just get squeaked out by a little bit.
Well, that was a big win yesterday. Arguably their biggest win of the season. Now, there was no Shea Weber for Nashville, and there was no Pekka Rinne for Nashville. Carter Hutton got the start. But last week, I mean, I thought for a long time the Flames were going to get in. And even when they lost their captain, they continued to find ways to pick up points. Now, they lose to Dallas last week. Then they get pummeled by Minnesota, and Winnipeg keeps winning. And in here, in this factors in the LA Kings, because while I'm not sure on Calgary and I'm not really sure on Winnipeg, count me in to the group of people that just think the Kings are gonna king.
Oh, they're
gonna get in.
They're taking
somehow
somebody's spot.
Some way
they're taking somebody's spot. Bruce Boudreau can't sleep at night dreading the idea of a Kings Ducks first round, right? Anaheim could win the President's Trophy.
Sure, nobody wants, like, LA
nobody
might not
wants
make
them.
The playoffs, and nobody wants them.
No. And what you want of your Bruce Boudreau is there's nothing you can do. I think they have 1 game left against each other. There's nothing you can do to stop the Kings from getting in. You want them to be 3rd in the division. You might even want them to be 2nd in the division. The Kings are 3 points out of 2nd. Let them have 2nd. Let them host the first round. Just stay out of your way. You want the Canucks and either Eddie Lack or Ryan Miller racing to get back and get healthy. Or you want the upstart Flames. If you're Anaheim, you don't mind
things.
The travel. Bring your passport. You'd rather do that than stay at home for 2 straight weeks, sleep in your own bed, but play the LA Kings.
So we might be in agreement here then. There's 3
first time.
There's 3
first
Canadian
show,
teams. There's 3 Canadian teams in the West: Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg. And 2 are getting in and 1's going to miss. Right? If we're confident enough in the LA Kings. You can see them play the Blackhawks tonight on Sportsnet. Now on the other side, the Ottawa Senators riding the Andrew Hammond miracle run, it looked like they were getting in. Now, this weekend, the overtime blown lead to the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday, and then last night,
bad start out of the gate.
Yeah, outclassed by the Florida Panthers. When you look at that gas tank right now, does it feel low? Do they have another semblance of a run left in?
I'll tell you two things. It's tough to tell on back-to-backs, and every team's got to play them down the stretch. There's no question that that's true. But I wondered if they mess with karma a little bit, taking the Hamburglar out and starting Craig Anderson. Minnesota's not doing this. Minnesota is defying every bit of logic, right, in terms of how often a goaltender can play and when to give him a rest.
And now 36?
So if you're Ottawa and you're doing just fine, you're fine. But you've played Craig Anderson now on back-to-back nights. And Hammond's healthy, right? He can play, right? It's not an injury for him. Am I wrong? He could play if he wanted to.
They, after, what was he, 14-0-1, and then he was three in a row with three, four, or five goals.
But they wanted to give Anderson the start against his former team. That seemed to be part of it. But I wonder if they mess with a rhythm there. Now, that said, they're sitting up there 3-1, and we'll talk about it from the Leafs' perspective at 2 o'clock. With Ottawa up 3-1 in the third period,
everything gets magnified when it's because we've watched this Maple Leafs team up close and personal for months and months and months. So we know that it's just a race to the finish.
None of the it's the tortoise against the tortoise. There's no hare. There's no rabbit. The way the Sens came out, none of the cliches matter. You can't say, well, they came out flat. No, they didn't. They were fine. They were up 2-0 after 5 minutes in the second period. Well, they didn't look like they wanted it. Sure they did. They absolutely did. The Leafs just happened to have two shots, get on net, and especially the one with the goalie out with a minute 24 to go, to force overtime, and you make a mistake in overtime, and it's in your own net. They needed more than the 1 point out of four, though. And we're going to talk about Tampa-Montreal, too, tonight. Boston's playing better hockey. Boston may do their Boston thing and get in. And then I'll tell you what, if you're Montreal tonight and you're Tampa tonight and they play on Sportsnet as well, you look and you say, do we want to be the second seed and get the Wings? Or who don't even know who their goalie is right now and they hate their defenseman? Or do we want to be the first seed and get the Boston Bruins? Do we want to roll the dice and be the team that calls it off basically for Boston and says, your era's over. We're taking you out in the first round. That's what's going to be fascinating.
So confidence level real quick. Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg, Ottawa. The four bubble teams. One in the East, three in the West. Who is getting in and who's not getting in?
I'm most confident.
Is it staying the way it is today?
Well, Winnipeg's just in, but again, just by a smidge. They'd be the crossover team and they'd get Anaheim in the first round potentially. That's the thing also. If Winnipeg gets in, doesn't matter if they've got more points than LA, they go over and play Anaheim if they're fifth place behind Minnesota. So I think Winnipeg's getting in. I do think Vancouver's getting in, but I know they're worried about getting in. And I think Calgary's going to be the team on the outside. Minnesota shocked everybody. That's another thing. When we went off the air 28 days ago, the Minnesota Wild weren't playing this kind of hockey.
No, incredible.
And they've changed a lot of people's minds about who they are and what they're going to do when they make the playoffs.
So did this weekend end the Senators, or you want to see another week?
A little bit more, right? A little bit more time. They're in Detroit tomorrow. That's a big game. I'm not sure Detroit is safe. Detroit's 6 points up on Ottawa. They'd have to really collapse. I know you'd like to think so. You tell me that every year, and every year it's true.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of things. So we got a lot coming up. Buck Martinez is going to join us at 2:37. Elliot Friedman coming up about 6-7 minutes from now, about 1:35. We'll get his thoughts. And we have video a little later on this hour of it's a bizarre incident from the Swedish Elite League featuring a former Toronto Maple Leaf. Deadspin just picked it up just before we went on air. It's starting to hit the make the rounds a little bit, and everybody's got an opinion on it. We're going to ask tough guy George Parros his opinion on it. You can't say former tough guy. Would you say former tough guy with George Parros sitting right here? You would not do that.
Former, yeah, he's tough. He considers himself tough.
So he's a current. I would say, yes.
Well, yeah, he's a current tough
guy. On skates or not on skates. This is Brady and Walker, shockingly enough, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and you're watching it on Sportsnet 360.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Brady and Walker. On your TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet590.ca, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, they kept us around. One more segment to prove it.
Three shows until we reach Joe Buck level.
And the
cancellation.
And the difficulty with, and we'll get a guest who will put a cigarette under his fourth chin or whatever it was.
Right.
The interesting thing also is people can see us. We weren't used to this before in mornings, and someone did ask why I'm... You notice this annoying habit where people on the radio can't see it, where I have only one headphone covering my ear. Now, I am worried about long-term hearing damage, and I hear pretty well right now, but I've had headphones on for 19 years in major markets, Andrew,
and
I worry about it.
But you're a radio vet, so... You know, when I accidentally pick up, say, your headphones, like, they're screaming they're loud.
I know, but it's only loud in one ear. But the problem is I don't rotate the ear that I'm going deaf in. And I should mix that in some. And you keep them both on like you're recording for Rush or something. Like you're doing back, like you're Michael McDonald doing backup vocals on Ride Like the Wind on SCTV.
So at Brady Walker is our Twitter account and our personal accounts as well. At Brady Fan 590 at Fan 590 Walker. And Elliot Friedman's joining us in a couple of minutes. And one thing that caught both our attention last night, obviously, and we were talking about the Ottawa Senators, but they lose to the Florida Panthers. And who leads the charge but Jaromir Jagr with two more goals, one that felt like it was out of NHL 1993 as he comes down the left side, fakes a slap shot, and then wraps it around on Craig Anderson. Jagr's always that interesting conversation when you look at his career, and last night he climbed to within whatever was 2 points of Ron Francis. Like, when this is all said and done, He might even catch Gordie Howe.
And there's nobody else. So he's at 720 goals right now. Like, I tend to look at the goals. I'm not even thinking about where he is for overall points. So this year alone, he passed Mike Gardner, Phil Esposito, and now he's within 11 of Marcel Dion. He's not going to catch him before the end of the year. But I don't know if Jagr's tricky, eh? Like, you don't know if Jagr will do that sort of retirement tour. Like, whether he would say, that's been popular. I mean, Derek Jeter popularized it last year. Mariano Rivera did it the year before that. Maybe we haven't had one in hockey in a long time. My recollection out of the lockout is so many guys lost that lockout year that all of a sudden it was like Al McInnes gone, Mark Messier gone. And
Teemu Selanne was kind of the guy that did it a little bit. But even when Gretzky hung him up, it was, I mean, what do we know, like a week?
There was a week and a half left. He only had two home games left when he did it. But the Jagr thing is the intriguing conversation is because – so he puts up a 71-point season with the Rangers, no 7-0-8, and they make the playoffs and get into the second round. Then he goes away, and there's all these rumors. Why is he leaving? What's he doing? He's only 36. And he goes and plays in the KHL for tax-free money, and there are a lot of talk about gambling debts, too, and who knows. But he goes and plays for the legendary Omsk Avangard and scores a bunch of goals there for 3 years. And we didn't think we'd ever see him play NHL again. I didn't anyway. I don't think there was anything
at the time that's kind of what you... Yeah.
Like, guys do that. Sergei Fedorov, who may be a first ballot Hall of Famer, just went left. You didn't think you'd see him again, and you didn't. And then all of a sudden, I remember that summer of 11, it's like Jagr's coming back, and he's coming back with the Flyers of all teams. Like, it's not even... He didn't even want to come back to a known commodity team. So give him two more seasons. Give him three more seasons of scoring, what, 20 at minimum?
Oh, give him three at 30 in that era.
And he's where Howe is right now.
So Elliot Friedman joins us from NHL and Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. We love to have him on the morning incarnation of our show and back in the afternoon. Good afternoon, Elliot.
Sorry I couldn't make it for beers with you on Saturday Night Walker.
Okay, so... I'm being That's, so it's,
you can
it's
go
Saturday.
Any night. He'll go tonight too for beers.
Let me There's give no... Elliot's still sour. I can tell. So this is the context.
No, I'm not sour in the least. But I laughed. But you know, I was just like, you know, I got a million text messages coming in. I got Walker saying,
"Yes,
do you want to go for beers tonight?"
Well, because I know you're on the biggest hockey show on the planet. I am cognizant of that, and I thought he'd get a laugh out of it. And he was like, "I won't use the exact wording," but he's like, "Are you bleeping kidding me right now? I got to be on Hockey Night in Canada.
Elliot, before I agreed to work with Walker, I want to make sure he wasn't that guy that tweets athletes in the middle of their games. There's a very strange person. It's a very strange person who tweets at @BLaurie13 and tells him to step back in the box a little bit. I never quite understand that.
Cover the line.
Oh my God! We were just talking about Jágr. When you look back, those 3 years when he left, were they strange circumstances? Did you ever think you'd see him again? And we probably never thought. Well, he's going to play for a bunch of teams, maybe a different team almost every year, and he's going to lob up another 100-120 NHL goals and be third overall or fourth overall all time.
We thought, you know, with him, like, you just never knew. Like, he does so many things just at the whim of what he feels like doing. That, you know, was it a surprise? Yes. But then, you know, a lot of people, when he asked about it, they would say, well, that's just Jágr, the guys who knew him. They would say that. You know, we always thought it was for the money. And I don't blame athletes for that. I'm not one of those people who gets really caught up in that kind of thing as an athlete, although he's really extended it. You only have a limited window to earn your highest amount. So when somebody takes the money, I don't really get too excited about it. And I thought that's what it was. At the time, you know, they were the people who could pay him the most, and he went for it. Did I ever think he would be back here? No, probably not. But if anybody would surprise you, you would never be surprised by anything he does. He lives life his own way. He always has. And you know what? Good for him, because he's had a longer career than just about any other athlete could have hoped for.
Is it a play while you can thing with him? I mean, he looks surprisingly good.
Off the ice.
Yeah. You think it's important to him to be, because you look at the leaders, and there's still the potential for it to be Gretzky, mm-hmm. Howe, Jágr, which is pretty special.
He has a chance. And you know what? Like, the thing is, he's one of those guys, Andrew, he's consumed with hockey. Like, you ask him what his other interests are, and, you know, aside from wagering, there aren't many. And, you know, he's still a guy who works out late at night. You ask a lot of the teams he's recently played for, Dallas, Boston, New Jersey. I haven't really had a chance to ask the Florida guys about it yet, although I should have probably done it last week. You know, he's still a guy who's a late night guy, gets his own key, goes in, does his workouts, does his thing. That's the way he is. And, you know, his life is very much hockey. He's addicted to it. He's consumed by it. He competes at it. And I think part of the reason that he's played as long as he has is not only that he can still do it, it's because it's the number one thing he wants to do and the thing he knows. And I don't know if I've never really talked to him much about what life would be away from it, but I'm not sure it's something he really enjoys contemplating.
Elliot Friedman's joining us, of course, from Hockey Night in Canada, the NHL and Sportsnet, a load of games tonight. There's five games and involving four Canadian teams. Two teams I can think of that may be playoff teams where the goalie, either if you injected the truth serum in, the coach or GM doesn't know who he'd prefer in game one or won't say. One is Detroit. The other, I feel like it's Jonas Hiller's net if Calgary gets in. Are the Red Wings and the Canucks the only two teams that wouldn't be sure whether it's an extended run for a guy? Detroit, because Howard's been inconsistent. Would Winnipeg get Pavlich in there quickly if they really?
No, I think Pavlich is the number one guy, but I don't know if, like, even then they lost last night. I didn't think he was that bad. You know, I think right now he's the guy, but is he an absolutely set, hard in stone number one? I don't think so. You know, Vancouver to me, you know, Ryan Miller, if he doesn't get in games before the playoffs begin, and it seems unlikely at this point, I don't even know how there's a debate. Mm-hmm. Like, Lack's your guy. I mean, to bring a goalie back in the playoffs after missing 2 months, that's not easy. That's an awfully tough ask. Calgary, I would say. Winnipeg, I would say. You know, those are probably your two teams that have your toughest considerations, just about everybody else. I mean, if Ottawa makes it in, you know, who's their number one goalie right now?
That's the trickiest question, isn't it?
Like, you know, like, this whole thing with Dave Cameron, like, people say that Cameron's nuts because he doesn't want to play Hammond or something like that. Hammond's hurt. Like, yeah. And the other thing is, too, like, coaches don't intentionally throw games at this time of year when they're trying to make the playoffs. Like, people say, oh, he doesn't want to play Hammond. He doesn't, you know, I'm listening and reading some of the stuff going on around there. And I'm like, does anybody really think that Dave Cameron doesn't want to play the guy who gives him the best chance to win? Like, he wants to get in the playoffs. The Ottawa Senators want to get in the playoffs. He's not prejudiced against one guy or doesn't want to play one guy because for any other reason than who's going to give us the best chance to win the game tonight. That's all coaches think about at this time of year when you've got a chance to get in.
Elliot, thanks for you were our Bill Murray for David Letterman today. We appreciate that.
I'm not used to coming on this time slot without sound effects for snarky comments.
Oh, the snark will come. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. No, they have to come, but it has to be a two-way street of snark. Has to work that way. Thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Take care.
Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. So Saturday, I text him. I'm like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Like, as a joke, because he's on Hockey Night in Canada. So, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a little busy, haha. And I said, I'm not busy, he said. So I said, great, want to go for beers? And he was like, are you bleeping kidding me? But yes, I am.
If people want to invite us for lunch at 2:30 today, we may be freed up by then. So we did this thing on our morning show, it's got a weird genesis that I will probably explain tomorrow at this exact time. But it's called Best and Worst.
Best.
Tom Izzo.
And Worst.
H to the Izzo.
With Brady and Walker.
Not what I wanted to start with, but
example of something good and something bad. Best and worst. It's a look around, well, basically sports last night. What we saw, what we were watching. Best win, worst loss. Best player and worst player in terms of individual performances. So let's start with you.
You summarized it perfectly.
Give me your, you can't win anything.
No.
It's just for your listening enjoyment. Give me your worst loss from last night in sports. What were you watching?
Well, it probably has to be Ottawa. We talked about the 4-2 win for Florida out of the gate. I know it's tough. You're coming back. You've got to play Anderson on the back-to-back because, we've been told, Hammond hobbled a little bit, although Ottawa's given Zippo away in terms of information. That's what you do late in the season. But you can't lose that. You can't get down in a game like that. 2-0 after two periods of play. There was no jump from the offense. And when you need offense in the third period, there was very little there. They just mustered up 11 shots over the three periods. Ottawa's going to need a lot more than that if they're going to catch Boston and get into a safe haven for the playoffs.
Well, and at this juncture of the year, 3 points feels like a lot. And that's what the Boston Bruins have now. I'll focus in on them. For the best win, they get overtime heroics from super rookie David Pastrnak and win 2-1 in Carolina. They led it 1-0. It was tied 1-1. And the bonus points right now at this time of year are so big. And you knew the Senators fans are watching that game. Pastrnak steps in and roofs one. And the Bruins pick up a gigantic win. And finally, a little breathing room for them.
Best player. Your best players have to be your best players when you're going into Nashville. And Yuri Hudler has been one of Calgary's best players this year. What I don't want to say it was inauspicious signing, but we all wondered about Hudler's motivation. Why pick Calgary? You would have been there the summer it happened. Why? What's he doing? Is it just money? Detroit couldn't afford him and decided to spend their money elsewhere, and that might have been a mistake. He's on a 78-point pace this season, and he had 3 yesterday, helping the Flames to that big 5-2 win in Nashville. As we've said, Calgary goes tonight.
And worst player. Now, I want to be careful because I like him. Good Canadian kid. I'm a patriot, if nothing else. But, of course, Gonzaga point guard Kevin Pangos. Yesterday, he's the point guard. He played 40 minutes. He had 0 assists as the Zags fall to Duke 66-52.
Well, how many do you want him to have? 1?
More than 0. Although, he's a great kid. I know he's well-liked around here. We wish him the best. But that's a tough way to bow out. Not that game was overly winnable. But when you're the point guard, you do need more than 0 assists.
We rarely looked at the team assists in that game.
It is a different game.
Duke had 10 assists. And Gonzaga had 8. Like, that's 18 passes that set up baskets in an entire 40 minutes of basketball. Like,
it's incredible.
They were playing with a 90-second shot clock.
Get the shot clock.
After 2 o'clock, Andrew's thoughts on how the NHL playoff pitcher will shape out. And tough guy George Parros, he's still tough. He's not a former tough guy. Joins us at 2:15.